And that last track right there was Show and Tell by Bored at My Grandma's here at CJSF 99. Sorry, CJSF 90.1 FM. A little bit of a tongue twister there sometimes. After this quick PSA, we'll be back with some more music. Listen to this.
Hi, we are Young Liars.
I'm Javin, and I play keyboards and sing in Young Pacific.
I'm Nathaniel. I play guitar and sing in Dead Soft.
Since moving to BC, I've been a huge fan of Emily Carr's art.
I wrote a lot of it on the road. That was our first real tour.
What role do you think time plays in transforming something into art?
We've arrived at sexual maturity as a band.
The Arts Show, every Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. right here on CJSF 90.1 FM.
You have come so near, but I off your shoes, come dance with me and Sue. On the dance floor, till the midnight stars come through. Store just down the street from my first house. Getting down in the soul night, I need you right now. Getting up for the moon night, I love you right now. The fun, smile on her eyes and sparkle in that sun. It's so hard out here, but I just don't care. Sue taught me to dance, she taught me to move. Now I'm so ready, I'm ready to glide.
Right there was Wyatt C. Lewis dancing with Sue. My next track here, I got a pretty good song, some Latin pop kind of electronic stuff. Here is Blush by Girl Ultra.
Por tenerte de nuevo yo mataría. Le rezaría un rosario a María. Tú sabes bien lo que fuimos algún día. Es complicado gustarnos todavía. Todavía me pongo en blush para volverte a ver. Me llega el crushing y sé que a ti también. De nuevo me callaría. Cuando me pones a nadie se lo diría. No puedo ser la única con esta manía. Es complicado gustarnos todavía. Todavía.
Para volverte a ver, is Bird Note. Tiny marsh wrens live in wetlands, usually within cattails, reeds, or bulrushes. After choosing his territory, the male weaves several dome-shaped shells, lashing together cattails, grasses, or reeds. These are called courting nests. Then, sitting high atop a perch in the marsh, he sings his sewing machine-like song, inviting a female to select a nest in his territory. Once the female has chosen one of his shells, she lines it with cattail down, feathers, leaves, or grass, and lays her eggs. Sometimes, a second female chooses a nest on the opposite end of his territory. Attracting mates and confusing predators make all the male's work worthwhile. When you're near a marsh this time of year, listen for the marsh wren's sewing machine song. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann. Bird Note's newsletter delivers the wonder and joy of birds directly to your inbox. Sign up at birdnote.org to get a weekly preview of our shows, stories, photos, and more.
And welcome back. I'm your host, Varian. You're listening to Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm getting down to the bottom of my hour for this week, so I'm going to kind of have my concluding thoughts, but if you like what you heard this week, be sure to tune in again next week. I'll be on at the same time. That's 1 p.m. on Thursdays. The last song we heard right before the break was by a band called Toe. It was called Close to You off an album called Now I See Light. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Olympics, too, because I've been kind of obsessed. I don't normally watch the Olympics, and I think the Olympics sits in a very precarious and interesting position where it sort of stands as an interesting thing where all these countries can sort of unify, yet, you know, a lot of places in the world are very divided, and there's a lot of war happening currently, and I find it very interesting, despite the fact that, you know, all the happenings in the world right now, we could run such an event in the Olympics, but nonetheless, you know, I think there is merit to the sport, and I think there is some merit to, you know, at least the athleticism that goes into it, and so I've been watching it. And man, it's like, it's kind of crazy the sheer scale of, like, you know, the Olympics happenings and whatnot. Like, these opening ceremonies are such a grand, big event, and how much money it brings in for to tourism and whatnot. But I've been watching lots of... I watched mostly, like, all the skateboarding stuff, just because that's kind of mostly the only sport that I'm really involved in. I don't know if I missed it already, but I saw that, like, breakdancing was in it, too. I was kind of interested in some of these sort of, like, less popular sports. I mean, I watched a little bit of, like, swimming and whatnot at work this past week, but skateboarding was quite interesting because, once again, for, like, the second year, so this is the second concurrent year that Olympics has featured skateboarding and its, like, lineup, and I find it a little funny that they still haven't found, like, appropriate, like, analysts for skateboarding. Tokyo Olympics, not last year, where commentators were, like, totally calling the wrong trick. I remember somebody trying, like, I remember there was, like, a Peruvian skater or somebody trying, like, a tray flip front lip or something like that, and it was, the commentator goes, like, oh, another hard flip attempt or something like that, you know? Similar thing this year, although a little better. I think they've got, like, you know, one real skateboarding analyst who, like, knows all the rules and stuff, and one analyst who's, like, from what I am hearing, he's like a free diver or some sort of, not free diver, what's it called, like Olympic diver or something or other. And there's just like a lot of like weird comments made, like, I don't know, in both the men's and the women's section, one of the analysts keeps making this like analogy to like, I kind of forget it now because it was really forgettable, but he keeps making some analogy to Matt Damon's character in Good Will Hunting, and I really don't understand where he's going with that, but it seems like such a tragedy to have these people who don't really care about skateboarding commentating like the Olympic skateboarding events, like both women's and men's events. Like it seemed very silly. Like me and my partner were like watching the Olympics and we're kind of a little astounded to like some of the comments they were making about, you know, the tricks and whatnot, and like, oh yeah, like I personally wouldn't have scored that so high or something. Or it was just really weird, especially since like competition style like skateboarding has been a thing for a few years now. Like they've got like the street league series or whatever that has been going on for like maybe almost 10 years now, like I almost want to say, and they have their commentators for it. And you know, like I'm not the biggest fan of competition skateboarding just because of like obvious reasons, in that like skateboarding is sort of like a free form thing and it's really arbitrary to put points to. But there are people who are like analysts and who are commentators for that, who do a good job of, you know, commentating that style of skateboarding. It just seems very off to me. Granted, I'm not really sure how the broadcasting rights work for the Olympics. I know that like every national broadcasting network has their own translation. So it could just be whoever CBC has commentating their stream of the Olympics, but nonetheless, it was a little funny to see. Another shocking thing I thought about looking at the Olympics is like the comparison in age. Like, you know, I think obviously skateboarding kind of has a bit of like a gendered sort of stigmatism to it. Definitely for a long time, you know, girls did not feel safe in skateboarding, femmes alike, you know. And so it's interesting to see that, like, you know, the men's section is a little bit like of an older group. I mean, young as far as sports go, you know, like, you know, I'm thinking like 20, the median age is probably like 24. But man, the median age for the finalists in the women's street section, at least, was like 15. Like a lot of the girls in the female section of, you know, like even the podium, I bet, was really young. I think like probably the average podium age was probably 14, 15. And it's kind of really crazy to see that like there's such a discrepancy in that. Also, it's interesting, I think, because like I was talking to another friend about this, where they feel like they're not, you know, a lot of the female section, despite it being like competition skating and, you know, it is very technical, the style of it is of what you would expect from a 14-year-old. Like there's not like a lot of power, and, you know, all the tricks are very technical, obviously, but there's like a notion in skateboarding that style is super important. And I think that's probably like, you know, it probably has a lot to do with like, you know, the way that skateboarding is sort of stigmatized towards, like, you know, being sort of a men's sport. And so it's kind of like a chance for the women's section to catch up a little bit and, like, kind of, you know, have their kind of big pros develop, you know, a lot more power in the competitive space and whatnot. But it was very interesting to see the big age discrepancy, almost like a 10-year age discrepancy between, like, the average age between two events. Anyways, that's enough about the Olympics. I'm going to sign off here, but I've got one more track for you guys. It will be another Toe song called Loneliness Will Shine here on CJSF 90.1 FM. Enjoy, and until next time.